I just want to say that worship. I am so happy to be in a church where you just pull out all the stops and glorify Jesus. So it's hard to be in a cold church, you know, just proper. I can't do that. Thank you. Thank you, Jim and team. Wow. Just thank you, Clarissa. Just going for it. Awesome. We are all refreshed. We just went really deep. Anyway, what's my verse? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. I'm kind of wasted. This is the first commandment. And then second, like it, is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Just quickly, at Christmas, let's love the Lord our God with all our soul, our mind, our strength. Yesterday I was at Target buying some towels for one of my relatives. And I'm just waiting there with my cart, you know. Like, oh, I'll get behind this lady. And she's got a great big cart full of stuff. And so one of the workers said, hey, you want to come over here? They'll take you at 2 and 3. I said, all right. So I walked over, and there was one here and 2 and 3. So there was this line, and I said, excuse me, I went around to 2 and 3. And I got there, and the lady goes, there's a line. You totally went past everybody. You need to get back there. And I'm like, what just happened? No, so I just went, oh, I'm sorry. She told me to come to 2 or 3. I'm sorry. Anyway, I had to walk of shame, go back to the back. Like, anyway, you know, just that quick. I was embarrassed, and I could have been offended. She said it kind of weird, like, there's a line. You need to go back there. Anyway, just happened. Just dumb, you know. That's just one little teeny example of stupid things that can happen during the month of December when it's crowded and parking lots are crowded and someone got in ahead of us or, you know, couldn't order the right present. It's not going to come in time and all the things that happen. So just my prayer is that we will love Jesus with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength. And when we get a little stressed out, we'll just run to him. Lord Jesus, I refuse to be upset. I refuse to be anxious. I refuse to be offended. Any of the things that happen, there's so many things in the month of December. So let us love him and let us out of that. We will naturally, supernaturally love our fellow man. And it won't be that hard. So bless us all, Lord, to just keep you first, keep you first, keep you first, and have a great holiday. So, amen.
We're on the same page.
Hello.
The four stages of life. One, you believe in Santa Claus. Two, you don't believe in Santa Claus. Three, you are Santa Claus. Four, you look like Santa Claus. Oh, well. So there was this very selfish, surly, mean, messy, hugely unattractive old hillbilly father that decided it was about time he took his family to the big city so they could all buy him some Christmas presents. So they drove the old truck to the big city, and they were in awe about the technologies they saw there for the very first time. They'd never, ever seen a cell phone or an iPad or, believe it or not, even a television. So while the mean, crazy father was parking the car, Mom and the teenage kids walked into the lobby of a huge skyscraper where they saw an elevator for the very first time. And at the elevator, they saw a very unattractive, frumpy, frowning, overweight old guy walk into what to them was his fancy big box with golden walls. And the door closes, And then a few moments later, the door opens and this handsome, buff, smiling 24-year-old guy walks out. And cheerfully greets them. Big smile on his face, wishes them a Merry Christmas as he walks by. Well, the hillbilly mom and the teens are so shocked, they're speechless. And finally, one of the teens says, "Mom, what is that fancy box? How does it do that?" Mom said, "I have no idea, but honey, could you please, please, please go get your father?" So, 24 Kingdom Delights, and if we can have that first, it's really, 24 Christmas Delights, because every Kingdom Delight that we indulge in and thoroughly appreciate and enjoy is all because of Christmas. It's all because it flows from the coming of the Son of God to become a human being and die for us on the cross, rise from the dead, and to he who did not spare his only Son, will he not freely give us all things? And he's giving us an unending supply of kingdom delectables. And that's what we're talking about. I love what Karl Barth, German theologian of the last century, said, that the Christian lifestyle of enjoying the kingdom is always and evermore like a child playing in the forest or a child on Christmas Eve. For all of us. And I think that is our inheritance, and the Bible promises that's our destiny. A child. The astonishing wonder of a child, what a child experiences on Christmas Eve is us and ours. Let's say together our declaration for this series on Kingdom Delights, and we're just taking 24 of them this time. I have a list of my 70 that I pray through part of them every day. I have a list of them out on the welcome table if anybody wants to pick one up, and mine's going to be different than yours because the revelation of God to me is mine. I mean, and I think my list could possibly trigger some for you, but I hope that you'll develop your own list of kingdom realities that are a blessing to you. Let's fill our lungs with air and our hearts with faith and say this together. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Thank you. Good job. Well, last time we talked about the kingdom delight of the atonement. And along with that, that with the atonement is the kingdom delight of the holiest of holies, which we now have full access to, and the blood of Jesus Christ. It speaks a better word than that of Abel, that we have an ever-present power. The blood of Christ is an ever-present power for us. And when I'm in a tough spot, and I get in tough spots from time to time, I find myself defaulting to the blood of Jesus Christ in my mind and in my inner declaration. Have you ever been in a spot that, wow, I'll be glad when I'm out of this spot right now? You ever had one of those? Yeah. Well, I find just declaring quietly in my own inner reality the blood of Jesus, I default to that as a platform of great strength and okayness. And I would invite you to consider doing that. So last time we talked about three of the kingdom delights, the Holy of Holies, the blood of Christ, and the wonder of the atonement. And this time, what I'd like to do is to talk with you about two kingdom delights. One of them is the kingdom delight of supernatural heavenly desire. Next Sunday, after our worship time together, we're going to have a Christmas banquet, and it's going to taste really good. We're going to have some good food there, because you're going to bring it, and I'm going to eat it. And that's a picture, it's sort of a mental appetizer I'm giving you. You know, the things of the kingdom, I don't know about you, but when I eat at a banquet, I don't eat first and foremost because I'm hungry. I eat because I have an appetite for all this delicious food. And hunger is there too. But we are hungry for the presence of the kingdom. When I catch a trout and pull it up onto the big rock I fish from often, I've noticed that what that trout doesn't need from its perspective is sunglasses and a beach towel and suntan lotion and a People Fish magazine. It doesn't need a cold drink or a hot drink. It has something else it wishes it had. And I dispatch it quickly so that it can have that in whatever realm it's going to be going into. It wants water again. And I want to say we're like fish out of water when we aren't connected to the kingdom realities and the kingdom delights and the kingdom delectables. There's something tragically missing, and there's huge loss that we experience when we are not tapping into the realm of heaven, because we were created and wired for that realm. And once you taste of that realm, it's really hard to be satisfied with anything but that realm in our heart of hearts. And we find the kingdom realm fully satisfying and bringing us complete fullness in our personal sense of happiness and satisfaction. And it will happen supremely when we see him face to face, but it's also available for us now. And that's what we're learning about getting a hold of in this series. What I want to emphasize about the kingdom delight of heavenly desire is that it's supernaturally given. The leaders of the First Great Awakening in the mid-1700s were very educated. I mean, George Whitefield, Jonathan Edwards started in what they call the Holy Club at Oxford University. Jonathan Edwards, I believe, went to Yale and at the age of 14. He studied the philosophers. One of his favorite philosophers was John Locke. And John Locke emphasized that all true knowledge is experienced through our five senses. And Jonathan Edwards picked up and said, you know what? The Bible actually teaches that about spiritual knowledge. It is not just something we cognitively believe, mentally, intellectually grasp, but it is something that God hits us with supernaturally, that is a taste of heaven, that's an experience of heaven in the now. Amen. And that's what real, what he called religious affections are. And when in Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2, we declare in response to the word that we are seeking those things which are above. We are setting our affections on the things above. What we are entering into is not human effort to imagine heaven. It's impossible to do it out of human imagination. But what we are responding to is a revelation of God to each one of us that he's given us about that realm. And to whatever degree we have that revelation, fully indulging it will bring more revelation. Jonathan Edwards, in the First Great Awakening, what many people call America's foremost theologian, Jonathan Edwards, put it this way. I'd like to read it to you as you contemplate it. Heavenly affections are from influences that are supernatural. The more a saint experiences this excellent, unparalleled, exquisite, and satisfying sweetness, the more earnestly will he hunger and thirst for more. He goes on to say, imagine that you've never tasted honey, and you read about honey, and then someone else tastes honey. Which one has a better experience of honey? Reading about it or tasting it? I submit to you, in alignment with the Bible and with Jonathan Edwards from the First Great Awakening, that you are already tasting from the parallel universe of heaven the wonderful delectables and delights of that realm to one degree or another. The invitation from the Word of God is to set our affections continually or reset our affections continually every day, several times a day, on the delectables and delights of that realm, and find ourselves increasingly hungering and thirsting and desiring that sweetness. Because there's infinite dimensions of that realm for us to know in this life, not just in the life to come. Hooray. I mentioned last time a good quote from G.I. Packer, British theologian. The life of heaven begins here. That's how we should understand life in the Spirit. It's heaven begun. When we consider the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, typically we focus on, yay, spiritual gifts are here, and hooray, the Holy Spirit is being poured out. But there's a dimension of that experience in Acts chapter 2 that I want us to especially consider this morning, and that is when Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes out, he will take from what is of mine and declare it to you. That what they experienced when the Holy Spirit was poured out on them and everybody thought they were drunk was all of a sudden this best friend, this wonderful God slash friend slash Savior slash Lord Jesus is all of a sudden all around them once again in intimacy and closeness as the reality of Jesus' presence is made known to them experientially, and they recognize this presence as being the same presence they just hung out with for 3 years. But oh my, he's omnipresent. Hooray! Jesus is omnipresent now, and he's filling us, and he's taking from the heaven realm and allowing us to taste of that realm in the now. No wonder people thought they were drunk. It wasn't simply some kind of crazy going on. These folks were electrified with the beauty and wonder of heaven honey. Supernatural gift. Let's never take it for granted. Let's marvel at it. Let's consider it. Let's meditate on it. Let's thank God often for the delectable the delight of this wonderful taste, this heavenly desire that God gives us. As a deer pants for the water, so my soul thirsts after God, the psalmist said. And that's what we have going on in our existential reality, our personal journey. That's what's happening. It would be extremely boring and ineffective for us to go through our whole life journey with only a cerebral, propositional truth dynamic going on. As important as that propositional truth is, if you try to go off into experience without propositional theological truth, you go into crazy quick. But with the realities of the simple gospel, the realities of Jesus' atonement and his reality that he loves us, and the beautiful truths that set us free, then we are have a wonderful foundation and platform for experiencing God, because it's those it's part of that theology that talks about experience and promises experience. You okay? The book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 28 reads, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. You glad you're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken? Let us have grace. And the word grace in the Greek means unmerited favor. So another way of reading that is, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have favor. Go ahead and have favor with God. Go ahead. You can. It's okay. You're invited to. You're invited. Let yourself have favor. Let yourself, when it seems like this fleeting notion of the beauty of Jesus and the kindness of Jesus and the wonderful wonder of Jesus just kind of flies past your conscious awareness, and you think to yourself, man, that's too good to be true. No. Doubt your doubts and believe your beliefs on that one. You know? It seems too good to be true, but it's true. And God is giving you a taste of honey in the moment. So go ahead and eat the honey. You're allowed. Max Lucado puts it this way, the writer in one of his books. Your sins stand no chance against the fire hydrant of God's favor. Yeah. The kingdom delight of heavenly desire, a supernatural breakthrough of God into your life that you respond to, that you allow the revelation that you get from him to fully obsess your mind and your heart and your inner world particularly. Now, the 14th kingdom delight of our 24 kingdom delights that we're working on. By the way, we're probably going to take a few more than 8 times. I was overly optimistic, you might say, on how many we could do in this series. So we're going to do a few more than 8, not too many more than 8. But we're going to just get 24, and some of them will be related to the Christmas message. Would you agree with me that there's lots of kingdom delights and delectables in Christmas time? Totally there. One of them is Isaiah 9, verse 7, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. It's not just that his government and peace will have no end, but the increase will have no end. Try to get a hold of that one. At the men's fellowship that I have been leading on Tuesday nights, we're discussing John's gospel in chapter 5. And we came across a concept there that I want to take a moment to tell you about. And in John chapter 5, Jesus has just done some healing. And then he says this powerful statement. He says, the Father is at work, and I'm at work. And I just kind of like it that Jesus never gets tired. And the Father never gets tired of doing his wonderful love, Jesus stuff and God stuff. And the Spirit never gets tired. You ever get tired? You ever just say, oh yeah, I need a break? God doesn't take breaks. He totally is into the more and more and more of extending his kingdom and his presence and his love. But then Jesus says this that I wanted to especially have us consider for a moment. John 5:21, for as the as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. Look at me. Will you? The Son, Jesus Christ, wills to give you resurrection life continually. He does. Not just when you were baptized and you rose from died with Jesus and rose out of the water, out of the tomb with Jesus, but continually you have resurrection life at work with you, resurrection power at work with you, constantly and continually. And as a pastor, I really like that about what God's doing in you. Makes my job a lot easier than to try to fix everything about you. You know? Jesus is... I don't have to fix anything. I just have to discern that Jesus is at work and cooperate with that best I can. But this delectable of the kingdom delight of ever prevailing Jesus life, number 14. I want to let you in on a little bit of a secret of my over 30 years in pastoral ministry, that I don't see my job or our staff's job as primarily being either your warden or your fixer, but to discern that in all the weakness of life and all the weakness of wineskins in church life that are weak often, that in the midst of that, there's a river running through it. It's a river of resurrection Jesus life in you. And it's ever prevailing and unstoppable, and it's going to continue all the way until the day of Christ. He who began a good work within you, Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, will continue it all the way until the day of Christ. You see, there's a supernatural dynamic going on in you. And from time to time, I read on Facebook or hear some comment about someone criticizing the church. And I often think to myself, what a waste of time, what a waste of energy to criticize the church. Because I could tell you a million things that could be tweaked about any other church in the valley. And ours. But that's the wineskin. Hallelujah. My focus is on the wine, not the wineskin. Yeah. And that makes my life so much easier. I have a philosophy of focusing on Jesus' life and forgiving the rest. Sowing to the Spirit, you've heard me say it before, and forgiving the rest. It's a great way to live. I wish I could do it better than I do. But I'm gonna forgive myself for that and focus on Jesus' life right now. Hooray for me. Ever prevailing Jesus life in you, ever prevailing Jesus life in others. You know, we really don't have to fix each other. We don't have to change each other. You don't have to change your husband. You don't have to change your wife. You can love, accept, and forgive them. And you can focus on the Jesus life that is sovereignly at work in them to make them more expressive of the personality of the King. And it's also true of churches. Oh. Let's just think a moment here. I'm going to talk some more about this one, but I want to say I'm going to finish today's message with a certain church. Two churches, actually. The first one is Hawkinson Community Church. This is what it looks like today. Oops, the other one. That's not Hawkinson. This is Hawkinson Community Church. Brenda and I were married in that building on the left in 1977. And my second teaching job was in the building on the right. And, my fiance worked there as an aide. And 50 students. She got $200 a month for full-time work. Yeah, there it is. That's not parking lot on Sundays, by the way. It's a different. But they had a really lousy wineskin as far as I was concerned when I was 16 years old. And Mrs. Leithisher, the pastor's wife, would, as often as she saw me, invite me to join the choir. And I didn't want to join the choir. I didn't even want to be there. I didn't want to be saved. I was pretty happy smoking marijuana with my friends as much as I could and just playing basketball and chasing girls. And my parents made me come to church, so there I was. I had a lid of marijuana in my pocket every Sunday morning for a while. Mrs. Leishier always invited me to join the choir. So one time, Mr. Leishier stood up on an August day, Sunday, and said, "We're going to have a baptism service next Sunday. Whoever wants to be baptized, it's going to be out at Salmon Creek. Come see me." There's about 30 people in the church, 50 maybe. And all of a sudden, my heart was smitten, and I knew I wanted to be a Jesus person. I flushed my marijuana down the toilet, and something spoke to me. And when I was baptized in August of, this was in 1971, the power of God was there beautifully, just a short distance from this church. But the wineskin was still crummy, but you know what? I saw wine in the church. Even though the wineskin, even though Mrs. Leishier invited every young person to walk through the door to join the choir, and nobody ever did. And even though it was quite a few Finnish people, this church was started in 1917. It's a 100-year anniversary this year. And even though the wineskin has been bumpy and messed up over lots of years, it was a charismatic church only for about 20 years during that whole time. Now it's not again, not a Holy Spirit type church. Nevertheless, for those in the fellowship, it was the best church in the whole wide world for us living in Hawkinson, Washington. It was our church. And even though it was beat up and crazy and, you know, I can't help but think that because I honored the Jesus life and just sort of rolled around and forgave the Mrs. Leithisher and the choir and other things that I could talk about but won't take time to mention today. I saw, even at that age of 16, I saw and I loved and I breathed and I drank from the wells of Jesus' life in that place. And we were in between pastors at the time. And I started a Christian coffee house at the age of 16 in that building next door. And the first time we had a meeting, over 200 young people showed up to it. Those older Finnish people, were delighted to be a blessing to me. And I was delighted to honor the Jesus life in them, even though I hated their wineskin. They ended up supporting us, going to seminary later on. It was a beautiful relationship. Here's my invitation to you. Listen, this is next photo is my Grandma Williams Church in Washougal, Washington. My Grandma Williams went to heaven at the age of 100. She told me shortly before she passed away, I was asking her about her life. She said, "I started going to Washougal Methodist Church when I was 19. And we drove in a buggy from Mount Norway down to church every Sunday. A buggy and horses." And she told me that face to face. And I went to that church, Danny, she said, "I went to that church for 81 years. Lots of pastors, lots of mess, lots of trouble, lots of things to forgive. Why did she stay? Because Grandma saw Jesus' life. She discerned the beauty
of Jesus' life. Jesus in his people. They're the blood-bought ones. They're what the Bible says in Romans, Hebrews chapter 12, is it? It says, the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. And you see him differently when you see him that way. I don't know why I got that revelation at age 16, but I've kept it with me all the years. And anytime someone is really critical of wineskins, I actually kind of feel sorry for them. I'm for tweaking wineskins as much as anybody, but let's handle it with a light hand. Let's not be heavy rabbies against, quote unquote, the church. Because that's the church that's the apple of Jesus' eye. He bought us with his own blood, loves us. And his life, his resurrection life, is flooding us all the time and moving in us, working with us, working through us sovereignly and powerfully to present himself. He's only going to present a perfect church, Pastor Dan. So we've got to make the church perfect before he comes back. That spot or wrinkle. You can hang around for that if you want. I just know that we are holy and blameless in his sight by his blood, the Bible says. I like that theology. And I believe Tom and team have word of knowledge today.
By the way, I joined.
Brenda joined the choir. In the choir.
In 1 Corinthians 12, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is word of knowledge. And when you hear a word, if it applies to you, meet it with faith, come up for prayer. And if you don't think God will heal you, come anyway, because there's faith here. And what if he does heal you?
I got the patience and understanding for when God's plan is very different from our plan.
If you need victory in an area of your life, I would love to pray for you. And I want to encourage you, because last week I came up for prayer. I had ringing in my ear, and I felt like my ear was blocked, and I just heard all these different rushing sounds and things. And Margie prayed for me, and the next day it was all gone. And I'd had it for days, so... God does answer prayer.
I saw a picture of a pyramid, and the impression was that in order for it to be tall or high, it has to have a strong and very wide base. So if you want a stronger, wider base than Jesus, I'd love to pray for you.
I had signs in my eyes, and I don't know if it's for physical or spiritual, so I'll pray for both. If you got something in your eyes, you're believing God for healing, then I want to pray for you. And if you're believing God for your eyes to be open to see in the spirit realm, see him, see the wine, amen, then I want to pray for that. And if you want a prophetic word, also come on up.
Lord kept showing me a picture of somebody stepping on stairs, and they kept breaking with each step. And there was... a compilation of great fear and taking a next step of faith. And the Lord wants to iterate that he's going to equip you with the faith to take that next step, that there's not going to be fear of the breakage that could possibly happen. So if you need prayer for that, come up.
I got two things. A removal of a deep-seated hurt in the wound to be healed, and debilitating arthritis.
And back pain above the small of the back, right about here.
Okay. Just close your eyes, please. And I'll give you a chance to connect with Jesus. If you're not, I'm telling you, if you're feeling like a trout on the bank and you want to be thrown back in the water, you want to breathe. You want a breath of fresh air today. You feel claustrophobic and
like life is pressing you sore, and you want the truth to set you free, just look up and catch my eye. I'm looking to my far right. Anyone want to be saved today? Middle section on my left. Just catch my eye. Look up and catch my eye. Far left. Are you wanting to be saved, young man, today? Is that what you're doing? Or are you just looking around? Just looking around. Okay. You can look up. Let's stand up. If you're a visitor, I want to thank you for being with us today. If you're joining us from home, we're glad you're joining us today. God bless you. And if you're a visitor, don't forget we have a present for you at the welcome table. Don't forget our amazing Christmas banquet next Sunday. Come forward for prayer for anything. God bless you as you go. Have a great week.